In the construction business and can't find what you need, Quality Supply and Tool has served Hoosiers for over a quarter of a century. Tom Hawk is the branch manager of the Indy location on South Harding Street.
We've always been big on keeping our shelves fully stocked of inventory of industrial-grade tools, concrete, masonry products, as well as the necessary accessories to help get the job done. You don't have it, you can't sell it. Our experience allows us to help with getting the pros as well as the weekend pro taken care of.
Quality Supply and Tool also has locations in Bloomington and Jeffersonville to help you think outside the box. Store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks with Jay Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan.
And we are always pleased to have Quality Supply and Tool and honored to be able to carry their name on this program for Beyond the Bricks. My name is Jay Query. Mike Thompson, the other voice that you hear on this program, and Landon Coons, working today as the producer, helping put it all together. From the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, over the years we've had a number of different people who have helped out in that regard. Sam Rumsa has done so. Sam Fritz has done so. Eddie Garrison is one who has done so. The reason I mention some of the other names is because, Mike, I'll begin by asking this of you for this episode. Are you a viewer of the show Seinfeld by any chance?
Not at all. I think I've seen one episode total.
Unbelievable. So we found the one person in the American landscape that is not a regular watcher of Seinfeld. I'm giving you a hard time. But Seinfeld, as it is the case with a lot of shows, Mike, a lot of times you will see where all of a sudden you'll turn it on and you'll be watching it and they'll say, today we're going to take a look back because it's our 10-year anniversary or our 5-year anniversary or our 100th episode. Seinfeld has an episode that is a look back because it's the 100th episode of Seinfeld. And even though you've never seen Seinfeld, Mike, we get to do exactly that tonight because this is, in fact, a landmark. Thanks to all of the people that I just mentioned. Thanks to Quality Supply and Tool. This is a landmark show for us here tonight.
That's correct. It is a very much a landmark show because tonight is our 100th episode, which if you'd have told me this in 2021, I wouldn't have believed. But yes, we've made it to 100 episodes.
That is amazing, you know, and I guess it bears repeating for those that are new to listening to the program exactly what or how this program came about. For years on this radio station and throughout the radio stations of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, locally speaking, Donald Davidson, who is the historian emeritus of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, for that matter, the historian of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Donald did the show, The Talk of Gasoline Alley, every single May for year in and year out, where people would call in, and truly he would amaze people with his absolutely incredible intellect, memory, recall, and statistics that he had categorized and all archived within his fascinating brain and intellect, and would do shows and just talk with people each night. And it was obviously beloved, as is Donald, who Mike and I both fortunately have been blessed to know over the course of the years. And Donald, once he decided to enjoy retirement, which he is still doing to this day, and decided not to do the show anymore, Mike was approached, as I was approached as well, of doing some sort of a variation of that moving forward. Mike, the reality is both of us had a tremendous and still do respect and love for Donald, but also a knowledge of the fact that the two of us combined and then tripled still would not have the ability that Donald does to know every nuance of the Indianapolis 500 history. But based on a ton of work that you have done, we do have the ability to awaken the past when talking about it each and every year for this particular show.
Well, what people may or may not know is I was actually approached to take over the Talk of Gasoline Alley as the new host, which would have been the honor of my life. And I said, absolutely not. I said, because I will be universally hated. I'm not Donald. No one's Donald. Donald is the greatest of all time. And it's like taking over center field for Willie Mays. I mean, you know, you can't be that guy. But when it was, I said no, then they came back to me with this idea and they said, hey, what about teaming you and Jacob together for something new and something different and doing a spinoff? And I said, great. That I'm excited about, and I would love to be involved with that. But, you know, being the host of the Talk of Gasoline Alley without Donald, I couldn't see that as something I would be very excited of doing, because Donald is so irreplaceable. I mean, there's one Donald. He's it. And, you know, he's such an important person in my life. But I just wouldn't be able to just take over his show. So I'm glad we were able to do a spinoff. We're the spinoff of the Talk of Gasoline Now.
That's right. And so what we do is, Mike, you have an incredible collection of audio archive, essentially, of not just race broadcasts, but things that have gone into the discussion of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. You have, obviously, old Talk of Gasoline Alleys. We have old commercials. We have old interviews. We have old appearances that took place on radio and television for drivers and mechanics and owners and all things involved with the Indianapolis 500-mile race. We also have some clips that maybe go back to, say, the early 80s. Some of them go back all the way to the 40s that you have. But we have one tonight that we'll begin with, speaking of Donald, that we have. But it also is one that has not gotten a lot of airplay since it happened some 40-plus years ago.
To my knowledge, it's gotten no airplay since this happened 40 years ago. I don't think it's ever played again since then. And this one, we have to give a little disclaimer. The clip you're about to hear involves a thunderstorm and a thunderstorm warning that was issued. This thunderstorm happened in 1982. This thunderstorm is not currently going on, so there is no warning, or you don't need to take cover or anything. But this was a thunderstorm that happened in 1982. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that going in, that if this was television, we'd be able to put up a little pre-recorded bug or something like that. But I thought it's important to tell you that the thunderstorm warning you're hearing in this clip is not going on currently.
Okay. Very important disclaimer. This is a thunderstorm as it happened back in 1982.
There's a fine group out west called CRA, California Racing Association. And that is thunder you hear in the background, folks. It's time for Mickey Rooney to go ahead and qualify. CRA, yeah, California Racing Association, is a sprint car organization. And if you go back through the early 70s, you'll find him on down a little way because his participation wasn't that much. But he did run sprints with them. And he runs some FCCA road racing events. They've had his best finish in a championship car so far. Has been a road race at Mid-Ohio, up near Mansfield, Ohio, 2 years ago. Roger finished fourth up there in a championship race.
Recently completed the Baja 1000, is it?
Just recently?
Yeah.
He's been in it several
80,
times.
I think, was the first time he completed it after six tries, something like that.
Yeah, they had run in it many times. And both he and Rick have been longtime friends of Parnelli Jones, who runs in that.
Very good. So we'll be talking to those gentlemen at 7:05. Donald Davidson's with us. 239-1070 is his number. If you're calling from out of state, the area code is 317.
May I interject something here, gentlemen?
You may.
We just received this from the National Weather Service. They've issued a severe thunderstorm warning effective until 7 o'clock for all of Marion County, including our metro area here in Indianapolis. We've had some reports of half-inch to a golf ball-size hail near Plainfield, and it's coming our way, moving to the northeast at about 20 miles an hour. So just wanted to pass that along.
Okay, technical question.
Yes. For me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you get electric shock from wearing earphones during a thunderstorm?
When you're sitting in a garage?
Yes.
Yes, you can. I just want to let you know. So, no problem. Don't you feel better now?
Yeah. Donald turned as green as the lime green shirt he's got on.
I hope you've got a couple of records.
We'll try to figure out something, Donald.
We're gone. But we'll be back to talk to Donald at 239-1070 at WIBC if he decides to stay after these words.
Obviously, he did stay because Donald would become a mainstay. He already was at that point in terms of radio coverage. But, you know, it's interesting, Mike, about the Speedway. I have always said, there is no place that is more weather dependent, because on a sunny day, as Bob Jenkins, who you heard there, used to say, it's just a great place to spend the day. On a rainy or dreary day, sometimes it can be the most depressing place on earth, just because you know that more should be going on aside from rain and thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's correct. That was Donald with Kevin Calabro doing the old Talk of Gasoline Alley, the original Talk of Gasoline Alley show that Donald did. And that was actually when they would do the show in Gasoline Alley itself, and they would be the only people usually there. Maybe there would be one or two crews, you know, kind of burning the midnight oil, staying late working on a car. Maybe a car there was an accident and they had to rebuild the car, or they were changing out an engine or something. But a lot of times Kevin and Donald would be the only people in Gasoline Alley. And so I just thought that clip was pretty amusing, with Donald basically telling Kevin, I hope you got some records because I'm out of here.
Well, certainly there have been times where Donald has been on the air when, you know, that's not the only time he's been on the air when bad weather has come rolling in, but always carrying on, of course. And that's part of the spirit for Donald Davidson, is what has made him probably the ultimate friend. I think the best title I could think, besides historian, naturally, is that Donald Davidson is the perfect neighbor friend of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Everybody thinks of him in that regard. To listen to him is to know him and to love him. And drivers certainly feel the same way. The drivers, over the course of the history of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, he's the Kevin Bacon of the Indianapolis 500 field. Johnny Rutherford is one of those drivers, the three-time winner, of course, who has worked in various capacities, not only as somebody who worked as an official within IndyCar, clearly himself a driver, also worked as an analyst on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway radio network. That means that he himself became a close friend of Donald Davidson. And in that capacity, it means that every once in a while there can be some good-natured needling that would take place. Donald Davidson and his good friend, Johnny Rutherford.
Bob, now that we know that Danny Sullivan is out of the race, showing with 29 laps, our guess is that that is the second greatest distance ever by the car which finishes last.
So Danny Sullivan has obviously the dubious distinction of being the last place finisher
in
this race.
I'd really cherish that, wouldn't you?
Other pit stops being made now as we continue to be under caution.
You can add Danny Sullivan's name to the list of drivers who have finished first and last in the 500. There are several. I wouldn't want to mention all of the names because one of them is standing next to me.
That's what I've always said. Chicken one year, feathers the next. Well, it's feathers for Danny, unfortunately.
Johnny Rutherford, who himself was the driver analyst that year, obviously, in the 500 broadcast. But when you talk about somebody that is just as easygoing and as good-natured as can be, certainly I hope, Mike, that people can tell that that is absolutely the case with Johnny Rutherford as well.
Oh, 100%. He and Donald have a great relationship, and that was some good-natured needling and a lot of fun between those two. So I have always enjoyed that clip.
Now, sometimes things could get a little bit awkward when it comes, well, in particular, probably on this show, right, Mike? We've had 100 of them, so there are always awkward moments, I'm sure, that somebody could pull. But every once in a while, like in our next clip, even the best of the best could be doing an interview in the biggest of stages and ask a simple question that then becomes more complex, correct?
Yeah, this is a fun clip that actually I came across while I was working on one of our other shows for this month. And it's really a fairly simple question from anchor Bill Slater. And he's asking WIBC's Gene Kelly for some information. He's asking him about a prediction. Hey, can you give us a prediction for the race? And this answer is actually, it turns into a bit of an ordeal. And I'll explain more about it on the way back out of the clip.
1947.
We've got just 2 or 3 minutes left on this opening broadcast here from Indianapolis. Gene Kelly, you want to make any observations?
Bill, just before the race, Dave Sapp, who was driven in 13 different races and was aiding Barry Lake in the pits today, made a very, very good observation on the car that he felt would win the race. Naturally, I can't divulge the name of the car nor the number right now. However, Bill, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to look under my badge that I'm wearing in the lapel of my coat right now and take a look at that number. That's Dave Sapp's choice. He is not a sensational driver. He has a fine car and has a fine record in the capacity of great performances that he's had here before. And at the end of the race, we'll reveal how close that prediction comes.
I looked at the number under there, and I want to pass on to all race fans that it's a fellow who once finished second here at Indianapolis, and it's a fellow who's riding up amongst the top half dozen at this particular time. Now, don't forget that we'll be back here two more times during the course of this race, again about an hour from now, and then at the close of the race. You've been listening to the start of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, presented by the makers and distributors of Perfect Circle Piston Rings. The piston rings chosen by men who know, the men who make and service America's cars.
wanted to bring you the opening race broadcast just completed. The programs usually heard at 8:45 are canceled. Kate Smith's speech, usually heard at 9, will be presented today only at 10:45 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Look, all I was asking was a prediction, Gene. I don't want to do a scavenger hunt. I don't want to have to play, you know. Can you just give me the number of the car and tell me who Babe Stapp predicted would win the race? No, you have to tell me. I'll tell you some other time down the road. And if you want to know, you can look at the number on my lapel pin and all that. Look, I just want to know the number of the car, man. Gene Kelly was involved in another one of our all-time favorite clips. This is easily the greatest lineup read in the history of the Indianapolis 500. I mean, I think every lineup read should be done in this fashion. And I don't know why you guys don't do it every year. I mean, if we could somehow work, ask Mark, maybe Mark could be able to do this every year. I think this is what we should do, because this is easily the greatest lineup read in the
history. I believe you have challenged me on several occasions over the course of 100 shows to use a couple of the coined phrases from the 1947 starting lineup, the 31st running of the Indy 500, and try to incorporate them now into the 108th a year ago, the 109th, et cetera, et cetera. The 1947, Gene Kelly with the starting lineup of the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
30 cars, 10 rows of three. Briefly, they line up from the inside out. We look down on the west straightaway of the home stretch of this track. Here they are. Number 1, Ted Horn, Paterson, New Jersey. Number 18, Cliff Legere, Toledo, Ohio. This is his 15th race. Number 27, the only previous winner in this race, Maury Rose of Chicago, Illinois, and South Bend, Indiana. Second row, number 54, Herb Ottinger of Detroit, Michigan. Number 24, Shorty Catlin of Indianapolis, and the only 16-cylinder car in the race. Number 25, the erstwhile blacksmith of Detroit, Michigan, Russ Snowberger. Third row, number 58, Les Anderson of Portland, Oregon, and the Kennedy Tank Special. Number 16, Bill Holland making his first start here. Dirt track champion, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Number 47, Lydiard ball like Ken Fowler of Dayton, Ohio. Fourth row, number 7, Jimmy Jackson, last year's second place winner. Number 53, a newcomer, Milt Fankhauser of Louisville, Kentucky. Number 28, an old-timer, Roland Free, who raced here 17 years ago, home in Indianapolis. Fifth row, number 14, the veteran George Conner, Los Angeles, California. Number 33, Walt Brown, representing the East, from Massapequa, New York. Number 31, the stout Frank Wern in a small four-cylinder car. He's from Pasadena, California. The sixth row, number 52, Hal Robeson, brother of the late George, who won last year's Classic. Hal from Bell or Huntington Park, California. Number 59, the man who calls himself the only Serb in automobile racing, Pete Rumsevich of Gary, Indiana. Number 46, Duke Nalen of Los Angeles, California. He'll be driving the Mercedes-Benz. Seventh row, number 66, the veteran Al Miller, Detroit, Michigan. Number 9, heavy-footed Rex Mays of Long Beach, California. Number 15, Paul Russo of Kenosha, Wisconsin.
One of the two who crashed last year, back again, in perfect health. Eighth row, number 8, Joey Chitwood, the Cherokee from Reading, Pennsylvania. 41, Freddie Agabation of Albany, California. 44, Goodhearted Charlie Van Acker of South Bend, Indiana. Ninth row, 29, Tony Bettenhausen, Tinley Park, Illinois. 43, Henry Banks, Linwood, California. 10, Duke Dinsmore, Dayton, Ohio. 10th row, which was just completed by 7 o'clock last night. Number 34, Cy Marshall, Jacksonville, Florida. Number 3, Emil Andres, Chicago, Illinois. And finally, completing the 10th row, number 38, Mel Hansen, the mustachioed whiz of Indianapolis. 30 cars, raring to go.
Is that the last time that term was ever used?
There has to be a way for you to work in good-hearted Christian Lundgaard of Denmark.
What? Wait a minute. Is it Louis Foster or Mustachioed Wiz this year?
I don't know. I actually haven't met Louis Foster yet, so that could be. But if we could work that or the erstwhile blacksmith, Otto Ward.
Did I hear in there somewhere like a heavy footed? Was there somebody heavy footed?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep, heavy footed and stout. There's also stout.
The stout Devlin DeFrancesco and the heavy footed Scott McLaughlin this year all will be chasing the mustachioed whiz Louis Foster.
Yes, and billiard ball like Tony Kanaan might get in the race as well.
If I can work that in into turn number three, then it will be absolutely fantastic. This year, it might actually be absolutely. I would say that's the last year that I would work in turn number three. But Gene Kelly actually using terms like mustachioed whiz was not a hindrance towards his broadcasting career because he would go on to do a lot of great things, Mike.
That's right. And I actually was looking up some information about Gene Kelly last night because I didn't know much about him. And I was like, we're putting together this show. And I found out actually Gene Kelly did announce for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Cincinnati Reds. He did games for them and was their chief announcer. So Gene Kelly had a pretty good career. So I think that it was propelled by the mustachioed whiz read.
Well, the mustachioed whiz was a little awkward, no question about it, in 1947. But 20 years later, we would find out that the awkward moments in the radio broadcast and the IMS radio network weren't always just for those that became terms that maybe were passé after a number of years. But sometimes driver interviews would go awry when you would get somebody like the one we have from 1967 that simply didn't want to be there or want to be interviewed, Mike.
The greatest single interview in the history of the IMS radio network. I mean, it's a must to play when we're doing a celebration show of all the great moments that we've had on this 100 shows we've done. It would be incomplete without the greatest interview of all time, the infamous Jochen Rindt interview, my personal favorite IMS radio clip.
Jochen Rindt was, of course, a big racing name around the world in 1967, and there were a lot of people excited about Jochen Rindt being in Indianapolis, not necessarily meaning that that was a reciprocated emotion. Here it is from 1967.
Now to the center pit again. Here's Luke Walton.
And Sid, I have Jochen Rindt here in the center pit. Jochen, you've been having some difficulty here for about the last half hour in the car. What was the matter?
I think I lost the piston ring first, and then the motor hose blew up. I lost all the water. That didn't matter because the engine didn't have any power anyway.
This is your first time to race in the 500. What do you think of it?
Not much.
Not coming back?
No.
Not coming back. Thank you very much. Now back to the tower and Sid.
Luke, his comment doesn't surprise us. Lynn and I were talking about this before. Jochen, been quoted all month, is not enjoying this race here. And this happens sometimes. After all, there are some racetracks that some people take to and some they don't. Even some of our championship drivers in America had certain tracks they didn't like. And for some reason, Jochen from Vienna has not enjoyed his stay here and didn't fare very well, but we hope he does come back.
And the funny thing is, Mike, he did, right?
He did come back. Not only did he come back in 68, but he came back in 69. He didn't make the race in 69, but he did come back. But this the dry, perfect way he says, not, you know, no.
Not much.
Not much. No. You know, I love it. It's just my favorite clip. And I love Luke Walton. You know, when Luke Walton says not coming back, the way he says it, you know, that's become kind of a catchphrase. I use it, or my wife will tell you I use it way too much, because I'll say if there's something I don't like, I'll be watching a TV and I'll be like, not coming back.
Now, here's the funny thing, Mike.
It's just
he would come back and run the five laps, as we mentioned, in 1968. As for Luke Walton, you recently found out that he not only did come back to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but he came back in broadcasting, not come back, but in various forms throughout the city of Indianapolis. He did more, you found out, than just the Speedway.
I did, and I found out in an unusual way. My friend Scott just opened a store on Main Street in Speedway, a vintage Indy Sports, and I picked up an autographed baseball from him of the 1948 Indianapolis Indians, and I got it home, and I'm looking over the ball, and it said Luke Walton, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting that there's a baseball player named Luke Walton as well, in addition to the announcer, and it's the announcer, Luke Walton. He was the play-by-play voice for the Indianapolis Indians, I found out, which I thought that was pretty interesting. I was thinking, the not coming back guy signed this baseball. So it's really exciting. So the baseball is signed by Al Lopez as well, who's a baseball Hall of Famer. But I was more excited to have the autograph of Luke Walton because he's the guy who said, not coming back.
Now, Mike, we'll give it real quick a plug for your friend because I love Indianapolis lore and Indianapolis sports. This store is where?
It just opened. It's right behind Dawson's on Main Street. So if you know where Dawson's is on Main and Speedway, it's directly behind. The entrance is directly behind Dawson's. So he literally just opened it, my buddy Scott. And it is a really cool store. If you're interested in racing items, baseball, basketball, you know, Pacer stuff, my buddy Scott's place. I mean, it is a really cool place.
Awesome. All right. We'll definitely check it out. And we love taking just a walk down memory lane of the moments that are unintentionally funny, awkward, whatever it might be. That includes a few of them and my all-time favorite Indy 500 song, all yet to come on this, the 100th episode of Beyond the Bricks.
The construction industry in Indiana has depended on Quality Supply and Tool, a local family-owned business, to deliver quality sales and service over the last 25 years. The employees make the difference, like sales expert Nick Worley.
What sets us apart is we only offer quality tools and supplies from quality manufacturers. We have a quality trained sales and service staff knowledgeable of the products we sell and offer. Quality. It's in our name.
On South Harding Street in Indy, plus Bloomington and Jeffersonville, Quality Supply and Tool thinks outside the box. Store.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Jake Query, Mike Thompson, celebrating 100 episodes of Beyond the Bricks. Thank you to all of you who listened to it and let us know throughout the course of the year and ask about it. Chad in Pennsylvania, for example, that enjoy the show. It means a great deal to us, and that allows us to continue having fun with it each and every year, taking a look back at the Indianapolis 500-mile race. From the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, we have talked about Johnny Rutherford being a driver analyst. We've talked about the Jochen Rindt interview that wasn't necessarily at the top of the list in terms of somebody enjoying the moment and just being outwardly blunt. That includes, actually, another driver who would go on to become an analyst for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, one of the absolute great personalities, fun guys, down-to-earth guys, and darn good race driver, Davey Hamilton, who took his own turn back in 2010, not of being an analyst, but rather of being a driver with one of the great honest quips, if you will, and a race broadcast of the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Dixon to the high side. He'll make the move for second. Jake Query in front of you.
It's Dario Franchitti that makes the move now on Elio Castroneves. We watch the back of the field. Everybody safely through number two. Elio Castroneves with Dario in tow in turn three. And an incident in the middle of the straightaway, Mark James.
Davey Hamilton spun, lost control of the race car coming off of turn number two, spun to the infield and touched the inside retaining wall. So Davey Hamilton in the infield grass at the midway point of the back straightaway. We haven't completed a lap yet here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Oh, my goodness. And the first lap is always the one that you hold your breath on. And it looked like Davey Hamilton's car stepped out on him as we will await the replay. Dave Wilson, you've caught up with a very disappointed veteran here in the garage area.
Davey, what happened, buddy?
Can you believe it? First lap of the Indy 500. I never thought I'd be in this position. And, Thomas Schechter's an idiot. He started two rows behind me, and he tries to be a superstar and goes three wide. And everybody knows he does it. But when I went in one, and Conway was behind me, and Mariah's in front of me, we all behaved. Nobody's going three wide in front of us. And next thing I go through two, I'm just following Rice. The next thing, there's a car on the right side of me, and I went to avoid to hit him, and then I just took myself out. I mean, the guy's just, he's a knucklehead, man.
What were you telling when you see him?
Same thing I'm telling you, he's a knucklehead.
Davey Hamilton talking about Thomas Schechter. Mike King, the chief announcer that year. That was the second year that I was in turn number two, Mark Janes in turn number three. Davey Hamilton, one of the all-time best, by the way. We had mentioned before that Sid Collins would do a show called Speedway Gossip. And within that, he also would take some mailbag questions, if you will. He would open up the mailbag, answer some questions on the show, and one time it started with a big plot twist.
First of all, I'd like to answer some of my mail in regard
to questions here at the track. And don't forget, if you have any questions, just drop them to me, Sid Collins, care WIBC Indianapolis, and I'll try my best to answer them for you. Ronald Keaton in Shelbyville asks, is Mack Hellings racing this year? No, Ronald, I'm very sorry. Mack Hellings is not racing this year nor any other year because Mack lost his life in an airplane accident in the mountains of California this last season. He was flying to an automobile race from Los Angeles. The race was to be held in Northern California, and he, along with two others, crashed in the mountains. It took several days to find him, and of course, he has lost his life and will not be here in the future.
It would be difficult to be there in the future under those circumstances, Mike.
I thought that was kind of a bit of a plot twist at the beginning. Mack Hellings won't be here because he's dead. And I was like, whoa, that is a plot twist. I was not expecting that.
Well, further also a plot twist sometimes is when you get somebody that's a legendary name at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, somebody who's won the race and has a talent for singing and is then brought back to sing back home again in Indiana, which happened in 1971 with Peter DiPaolo. I wouldn't say, however, that it necessarily was Mel Torme, but maybe it's just me.
Back home again in Indiana, where it seems that I can see that gleaming candlelight is shining bright through the sycamore for me. That new
doing a gallant job singing back home again in Indiana, and a standing ovation as the 10,000 balloons go skyward.
Gallant, Mike. Gallant job, right?
The best part about that is Sid looking for a word that describes what he just heard politely. What's the word I need to use here? Gallant, that's the word.
Well, listen, there are those that would do a gallant try when it would come to singing the singing of back home again in Indiana. It's, you know, obviously for so many years Jim Nabors did it. It's very hard to put yourself into the category of being remembered for the song. I guess Peter DiPaolo did it in his own way, right? Those that have been the chief announcers of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, Bob Jenkins, Paul Page, Mike King, each of them joined Mike Cerewick on an episode of the All Night Race Party on WIBC. And as we learn in this clip, not only did they hear so many of the songs and commercial jingles over time on the radio that got stuck in their head, but Bob Jenkins in particular was more than willing to sing along, and it is part of the beauty of the late, great Bob Jenkins and his effervescent, fun-loving, down-home nature. Not a bad singer either.
You always get the best of it. The savory, flavory best of it.
I don't know the words from here.
Da, 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 da. Hi, everybody, this is. It's dark and wet, soul meets
or something like that.
And for Bob's sake, you hope he's asleep.
I hope Bob is awake. Bob, if you're awake, call us because I want you to sing some more commercials.
Now, wait a minute. There is one. And
no
they're
way.
Singing the Indy 500 theme song. Do you want to wait or do you,
which
feel,
one?
Do you feel like the old one?
Yeah, the old one.
The 500.
Yeah.
The 500. All right. Do you feel like singing, Bob?
No, not at all.
Man, the greatest race in the world.
Not after this, Ed.
Can you name
the group that sang it?
It was
one of those cool
wagon.
Bags yeah. over there. If you
I have no idea.
A trivia question. It's very easy. It's really very easy. Just put two and two together, and you've got it for this race. Just okay. think about it for a second.
I will. And I'll also give you a chance to sing, Mike, because
we're using this in our open tomorrow.
Are you?
Yep.
Are you going to sing along with us? Can we use this in your open tomorrow?
Let's hear it.
Very good.
Oh, we can't sing.
Here's Bob. Oh, come on.
Here's
oh, come
Bob
on.
Jenkins.
Ladies, listen up, Mike.
Okay.
Listen up.
The 500, the 500, the greatest race in the world.
Come on, Mike. Your mic's open.
From the opening bomb till the race is run, it's thrill after thrill after thrill.
Yeah, we're using that tomorrow.
We're done.
The 500, the 500. The biggest and best of them all.
Yeah, there's
and
like four
until
verses.
That checkered flag's unfurled, it's yeah. the greatest race in the world.
You are awesome.
Primarily Bob Jenkins there singing the tunes that have become famous with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as part of the all-night race party on WIBC, hosted by Mike Sarawick, Paul Page, Mike King there as well. We've played plenty of race-related songs over the years. That includes Dennis Agajani and the Men, Machines, and the Moment. And, Mike, I'm simply going to put it this way. You have written down right here, here it is in all of its glory, correct?
That's correct. And I just don't think this is a song we've given enough play to over the years. And so I wanted to play it again for you here because I know how much you'll enjoy it.
Here we go.
It's Men, Machines, and the Moment. A driver's hope that nothing will go wrong. Sun shining down home in Indiana. The Speedway's the subject of my song. People travel miles on country highways to see a race with mileage that is long. Women looking fine at the Speedway with silent prayers of safety for the strong. 2.5 miles and the fans go wild, cheering thrills from all men who know what is to win. Race day is that time when paint and chrome will shine, reflections of the past remembered on. Is a scene at the Speedway with Valvoline oil, race cars can't go wrong. The big machines are roaring down the straightaway, show the men what they knew all along. It's Men, Machines, and the Moment. This year another winner's coming on. 500 miles have gone and it's time we're moving on as a celebrated driver greets a throne. 2.5 miles and the fans go wild, cheering thrills from all men who know what is to win. Race day is that time when paint and chrome will shine, reflections of the past remembered on. Reflections of the past remembered on.
There it is in all its glory from 1976. And if you think that's the best song in the history of connection to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, all I have to say, stick around on Beyond the Bricks.
In the construction business and can't find what you need, Quality Supply and Tool has served Hoosiers for over a quarter of a century. Tom Hawk is the branch manager of the Indy location on South Harding Street.
We've always been big on keeping our shelves fully stocked of inventory of industrial-grade tools, concrete, masonry products, as well as the necessary accessories to help get the job done. You don't have it, you can't sell it. Our experience allows us to help with getting the pros as well as the weekend pro taken care of.
Quality Supply and Tool also has locations in Bloomington and Jeffersonville to help you think outside the box. Store.
Hey all, I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler, a mom, actor, and advocate. I know how overwhelming it can be trying to decide which treatment is right for you. I've been there. But you should know you're not alone. You can do this. Start with some research, talk to the community, and most importantly, don't be afraid to ask your doctor questions. You might find results that speak for themselves. That's how I landed on Kesimpta. Ask your doctor if Kesimpta, ofatumumab, could be right for you. You can check out the details at kesimpta.com.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Got to cleanse the palate a little bit coming off of that song from 1976. So without further ado, one of our favorite clips on this, the 100th version of Beyond the Bricks. Mike, you got a sweet tooth, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, let's just go back to yesteryear on Keystone Avenue in Indianapolis in the inexplicably now defunct restaurant, the James Tavern, and all that they have to offer in the world of strawberries.
Coming to James Tavern for dinner is like coming home. Home to the friendly, inviting traditions of America. Cordial service, charming atmosphere, hearty dining, as you'll discover when you savor our Savannah pork rib roast, tender New England scrod, or Cascade flounder almondine. And for a big finish, now there's something very special, the Strawberry Finish Line, a tantalizing dessert bar reminiscent of old-time strawberry lawn festivals. You'll find fresh strawberries prepared in the most appealing ways. Strawberry shortcake, fresh strawberries with sour cream and brown sugar, strawberry pie, and that aristocrat of strawberrydom, strawberry chantilly, made with strawberries, whipped cream, and Grand Marnier. Come home soon to James Tavern. After the Indy 500, make your dinner a winner, too, at James Tavern, 8601 Keystone at the Crossings.
They're proud of their strawberries. And here's the thing, Mike. So they have strawberries in a and what better way to tap off a long day at the racetrack than coming out enjoying their strawberries? And you found one of their menus. They also have a bowl of spinach, right?
That's right. You can get spinach or cream of peanut soup.
I can't imagine why when I drove down Keystone on my way in, I didn't see the James Tavern. I don't know what happened, right?
They should still be in business because, you know, they have that aristocrat of strawberrydom. And can you imagine if somebody brought you that script of voice? And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this again? Well,
not to mention, it's like, what's with the 70s mood music? Like, yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? It sounds like Larry from Three's Company. Company is the guy that actually serves as your waiter. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And the best part too about that whole spot is I think they got paid by how many times they said the word strawberries in the spot. It's like strawberries. Yes,
three more times they could afford the spinach bowl, right?
Exactly.
Perhaps because it was a hot spot in the early '80s, it might have been where Menudo visited when they came to Indianapolis to film the music video in, I believe, 1983, using footage from the Speedway that turned into the greatest song of all time about the Indianapolis 500 mile race.
Over the horizon on Memorial Day, the sun showed its face. People come from everywhere to witness the greatest race. In the pits, mechanics tune the motors, they're getting ready for the fight. Gentlemen, start your engines, the green flag is down. Burning gasoline. Everybody on your feet to welcome the ferocious machine. 33 warriors in the chariots go out into the battlefield. 33 shiny helmets take command of the wheel. Biting to the ground along the straightaway. Fieldsmen dream to be the winners on this glorious day. 500 miles to the checkered flag to show their bravery. 500 miles to the finish line to victory.
Mike, you had to do it to me, buddy. But you know how much I love the Menudo song. The video is the best as well. Happy 100.
Happy 100 to you, and I'm glad that I was able to provide the English version for you again. I know you didn't even know it existed until you started doing this show.
That,
so
that
I'm very
correct.
Happy to bring it to the table.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Now I've got it right there on repeat on my iTunes. You know, Mike, appreciate it. So much fun. Let's do 101. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We thank everybody for listening to Beyond the Bricks.
The future of Harlem rests in your hands.
The MGM Plus original series, Godfather of Harlem, returns. Starring Academy Award winner Forrest Whitaker.
There's a new kid in town.
And Rome Flynn as Frank Lucas.
I'm the boss of me.
Critics rave about the rare gangster epic.
My father's planning a war.
Praising it as a great prestige drama.
Nobody plays Frank Lucas.
We will go to war.
Godfather of Harlem. Watch now only on MGM Plus.
El sarampión es una enfermedad seria y altamente contagiosa. De acuerdo a los CDC, uno de cada cinco enfermos de sarampión en los Estados Unidos serán hospitalizados y corren el riesgo de desarrollar discapacidades de por vida. Este año se ha detectado un caso de sarampión en una escuela preparatoria al sur de la Florida. Para mejor protección, tus hijos necesitan dos dosis de la vacuna MMR administrable desde los 12 meses a 6 años de edad. Vacunación gratuita está disponible mediante el Departamento de Salud del Condado de Orange. Protege a tus hijos contra el sarampión. Visita protectyourchildnow.net.